Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJ S on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Red Bull puts me in such a better mood. It just does. Hi, Andrew.
Yes.
Who's your friend?
You know her.
I know. I'm just being stupid.
This is Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Say hi, Abby.
Oh, don't let her talk. For love of God. Oh,
Now it's too late.
Now she's going to be insufferable.
I've created a beast.
Unsufferable.
It's a word. Look it up.
This is going to be her show in 90 days.
Hey. Done and done. Come on in. I'll teach you how to do this part. It'll take about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
She said I'm having issues. I thought she said something about her shoes.
I thought she said I had issues.
Well, that was funny.
I walked in and she's like,
it's weird issues. It's like, I was just training somebody and now I'm training and that's kind of weird. And I'm like, oh, who you training with? She's like, you. And I was like, oh.
I thought Trish was talking about her shoes because she's wearing slippers.
Oh, I didn't.
I brought my slippers with me.
And my gift socks.
Yeah.
She's like Mr. Rogers. She changed from her shoes to her slippers.
I did. It's so much more comfy.
Yeah.
I saw a salesperson walking around with slippers on the other day. I thought, well, if they can do it,
I'll do it tomorrow. In the studio. I don't care.
Because they're not making any money. That's what it is.
They're wearing slippers.
Yeah. Okay. Is Maria coming in?
Yeah. She just had to go collect some data.
Oh, gotcha.
I have a theory. So Trish is wearing slippers, and she's brought the lamp. I think she's just making this into her house. I think she's just trying to make this into...
Change the TV to
There'll
Bravo.
There'll be a couch in here next.
We need more lighting.
Yeah, I have a white lighted Christmas tree that I was planning on bringing in.
Nice.
I don't know if they'll like that.
What happened to the
they
orb?
They didn't like the lamp.
You still
in
have
here.
The orb somewhere, don't
they? 97.1.
Okay.
I don't know why you don't take it? It's your stuff.
It's all covered Mark Cox.
No, go get it during Reardon's show.
Okay, yeah.
He's not going to care.
And make a thing out of it.
Yeah, I'll make a big thing. I'll go in while they're on the air.
Dave said.
This is Dave's. She'll be like, ho! Ho!
Like, move, Sue.
Whoa! Ho! And now Marie's going to come in and tell us it's about a killing. Okay. Hi.
That was a great segue.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah. She needs to sit here.
Sure.
Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Are you our news guy today?
I'm your news guy.
Love
well,
it.
I think Sean's in here now, so he might be your news guy.
Well.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain.
So we've had a school shooting?
Yes. This is in Michigan, and there's only one source reporting that three are dead right now, six injured, and that's Fox News. We do not have that confirmation yet from CBS News, and I can tell you what they're saying. This is according to the Associated Press, a 15-year-old sophomore opened fire at the Michigan High School. Here we have a confirmation now, killing three other students and wounding six others, including a teacher. Oakland County Undersheriff Mike McCabe says at a news conference that he did not know what the assailant's motives were for the attack at Oxford High School in Oxford Township. This is a community of about 22,000 people, roughly 30 miles just north of Detroit. Authorities arrested the suspect. Again, he's 15 years old at the school, and they did recover that gun. It's a handgun. They did not immediately release the names of the suspects or the victims.
So kind of a Belleville sort of town.
Yes.
Sounds like.
Yeah. And this broke at about probably, we're going close to an hour now.
Mm-hmm.
And So another school shooting.
Yeah. It's luck of the draw.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it because these are real people and real kids and real parents, but, you know, Maureen and Phoebe were at the Galleria when that shooting happened. It's just luck of the draw.
Yeah, and they were almost at the one at the outlet mall,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It was Did they see it happen?
No. Mm-mm.
You know what's coming, though, that the conversation, the gun conversation again, that goes absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what happened?
About a month until the next shooting.
Right. That'll definitely happen. And you know what happened earlier today? We had the report on earlier. California gun ruling, which is pretty landmark, a ban on certain weapons.
Really?
So, yeah. So, and I've been waiting to get more information on that. I haven't seen it come across yet, but I think there's a couple of, obviously with this school shooting, it takes precedence. Here we go. It's a California case over high-capacity gun magazines, and it could be headed to the Supreme Court. So they have made a ruling, and we'll see what happens with it.
Having been at 97.1 for 20 years and having done tons of stuff at gun places, here's the way it's going to go. And you guys already know this, but I'll just give you a little bit of the inside. Like, a gun guy who I like very much as a person, who I used to represent, believes that a U.S. citizen should be able to have anything that the U.S. government should have. A bazooka, a nuke, anything. Because, you know, and he had a plan to take over the government, and he did 400,000 people. Like, he had it all drawn out. And, like I said, I like the guy a lot, but just, I don't see eye to eye with him on that kind of stuff. But you can't really have, I think, an intelligent debate about it when your walk-away point is, I should be able to have a bazooka or a nuke. Like, we have no common ground here. Like, I say I'm a gun guy because I own guns. I'm not a gun guy in that I'm not a gun fetishist. I don't spend my time on it. I don't subscribe to magazines, you know, looking at guns. And I don't feel like I need a 30-round weapon unless I'm going to be shooting zombies or government agents. Right?
Right.
Like, I'm not a hunter. If the comet hits and I find myself out there killing deer, that's the least of my worries. I have a 30-capacity clip. But for people who believe it, and there are thousands of them listening right now, who believe that they may need it to fight the government, or if the government should fail and now they are Rittenhouse with people attacking them, that's why. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
I'm not soft on guns. I don't want to take your guns away. But I'm also like, yeah, I don't need 30 rounds.
Okay, what about the people who say, no, I'm not planning on using it to overthrow the government, but they're fun and they've been legal all this time and I've never hurt anyone and there are millions of people in this country who own one and have never hurt a person. Why am I getting punished for everyone else's, for, you know, one or two people's mistakes?
Solid argument. It's a solid argument.
Because, you know, a gun is a tool.
Yes, it's a solid argument.
But both sides get drowned out by the person you're talking about who thinks they should have the bazooka or nuke, and then the people who want to take everyone's guns away. They're two extremes. And the logical argument, which would be you and me, not a gun owner, but I think if people can handle them safely and can pass a background check and can obtain them legally, then yes, they should have a right to have them. But none of that logic ever gets pulled into the argument.
Here's where I come down on it. I think that this, like, I do agree. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. I do agree with that. Like Rach said, it's a tool. We've seen people use a knife and kill a bunch of people. You know, you can use a rock. You can strangle someone. I think it's about the person. This 15-year-old kid, something snapped in him. I guarantee it's been coming on for a long time. Or someone kills their wife and then drowns their kids. You know, that these horrific stories that we see. To me, it's about the person. Now, when you see someone, a 2-year-old picks up a gun that was laying on a coffee table and shoots his brother in the face, completely different thing. Completely different thing. But when someone sets out to kill a bunch of people, it's not about the gun. It's about that person. Then it's about what is available to them to do.
Well, and this kid had a handgun, right?
Yeah. I mean, we always forget that the Virginia Tech kid had 2 9-millimeter guns, and he killed a couple dozen people. So Here we are again. We're doing it again. This is literally like probably the 20th time I've had this conversation and given my opinion. And you're right, Trish. Someone will call or someone will post. It'll be like, yeah, but. And like the argument that Rach just made, and I know she's not making it for her, but it's a fine argument. We should be able, I should be able to have a bazooka because no one should ever say, maybe I'm going to turn this bazooka on a grade school. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The problem isn't with weapons. The problem is us. It's us. There's something wrong with us. And I think that it's either getting a little worse or we know a lot more about it. You can look at it from a religious angle, you know, that we're all flawed, or you can look at it from a natural angle. But boy, we seem to be kind of crappy. We just do, because we keep doing this stuff. Crimes keep happening. Sexual assaults keep happening. Mass shootings keep happening. We're the problem. And we can fight about pieces of metal if we want to, but we should probably be looking in the mirror.
But can we solve that problem then? I mean,
No. I don't know this 15-year-old kid. There's, I guarantee you, a bunch of 15-year-old kids within the sound of my voice having similar thoughts. But they'll probably not do it. Maybe because they're afraid to. Maybe because a girl likes them. Maybe because their parents actually do intervene and get them some help. But think of all the people out there who could have been these kinds of people who aren't. For something got in the way. Or it was too difficult to get a gun or a knife.
Yeah, I mean...
But they're out there. They're out there right now.
This kid could have got it from the street. He also could have got it from his house and his parents didn't have it locked up. I mean, you see, I saw a story this morning. Terrible. A man shot his, I think, 4-year-old daughter while they were out hunting. It was a hunting accident. And it's like, that shouldn't happen. I know it didn't happen maliciously, but I feel like with education, when it comes to handling these instruments, that doesn't happen.
Yes.
And it's just tragic that we see this happen over and over again, and people are still kind of laissez-faire about the way they, like, handle the guns. Like, these things kill.
Oh, for sure.
You can use that to kill someone unintentionally. You should know what you're... It's a huge responsibility to have one in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's our right. It's our Second Amendment right, but it's also a huge responsibility. It can be both at the same time.
And if you leave your gun under your pillow or in your dresser drawer or on your coffee table, whether you're an inner city poor person or you're a redneck or you're living in Ladue, and you think the rules don't apply to you, you're just a bad person. You're not doing a good job. You are abrogating that high responsibility that you have because you have a deadly weapon in your possession. But I hate to be such a pessimist. They always say, like, if someone has the will to kill the president, they can. I'm not sure that's really true anymore. It'd be pretty damn tough. But if you have the will to shoot up your school or a Walmart, you can do it.
Nothing's going to stop you at that point.
No, I could do it this afternoon if I wanted to. I just don't want to. And if I wanted to, I probably would be stopped by fear or something. But for that rare person out there, it doesn't happen every day. It happens way too often. But for that rare person out there that has the motivation, the opportunity, and the not give a crappedness, these things happen.
You'll never be able to eliminate that.
It's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, but we don't know about this kid. This could have been purely an emotional response, like today. Like, I've had it up to here today, and I have access to this firearm. I know Missouri passed this law where it gets in the way of law enforcement taking away weapons from convicted felons. Am I getting that wrong, Maria?
Are you talking about the Second Amendment Preservation Act?
Yeah, where they don't even have to go by federal law. And so that's getting...
Well, and that's a real problem for police because it's inhibiting what they're doing. A lot of police have come out against it saying, we can't go do our jobs now. If we can't enforce the federal gun laws that are in place, then we can't clean the streets up of the weapons. I talked with Dr. Dan Isom yesterday about the number of guns that people are still keeping in their cars. And we have a proliferation of cars being broken into, specifically because they know that they're going to find guns. And they find those guns, and Isom says that's what's contributing to those guns that we're seeing on the streets.
One of those guns is mine. I used to carry a gun in my Jeep right here. I was in the very front parking lot. Someone broke in my Jeep, popped open my thing, took my gun. I no longer carry a gun. Lesson learned. But yeah, one of those is mine.
What did you carry it in your car for if you had to take it somewhere or just for protection or just out of curiosity?
Purely protection. Like, I don't even know what I would do. It, again, I've had some gun training. I know how to work my gun, but I'm not like a weekend warrior. I wasn't looking for, oh, you cut me off kind of thing. But now it just made me feel a little bit better.
The Second Amendment preservation that Maria was talking about, you see case after case of like, yeah, we probably could have prevented this woman being shot by her husband if we would have been following federal law. But since police weren't able to confiscate this guy's weapon after his domestic violence charge, he got mad at her and in a fit of rage, passion, whatever, shot her. I don't know if he was planning on it for 3 weeks, but you know what I mean? It's like,
it's access.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I think we should be tough on both ends. I think that we should make it not super easy to get a gun at all. Okay. It shouldn't be like buying a can of tuna. And for people who have had a history of violence, I think it should be exceedingly difficult.
Agree.
And then on the other end, I think we should be much tougher on people. That I had a guy who I knew who had a bunch of guns, and his wife made a claim of domestic violence. I don't think it was true. They took all of his guns. He was really pissed, but I couldn't say, like, I feel sorry for you. You know, it's like, well, I'd rather them take all your guns and then you get them back in a few months than something happened.
Right. I mean, I don't have a gun. I've thought about it before, but I would never go get one just me being me without knowing how to use it. So I would have to take a class. I would need how to learn it, learn how to use it, know all the precautions to take, because I would feel horrible if I had that and it hurt somebody else or, God forbid, hurt myself. Like, I just wouldn't go buy one with somebody, you showing me how to use it. That wouldn't be good enough for me.
I don't think it's reasonable when the left says it's all about the guns.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's not. And I don't think it's reasonable when the right says there should be just no limits. Even Scalia in the Heller case said, of course there are limits. And he used the example, I think you can't have a bazooka. It's all a matter of degree. Most things are. Where do you draw the line? Thank you, Maria. We appreciate it. So we went a long time there with the school shooting, just one of those weird little segments we have here. Let me say this, though, about the show. Since you're getting to know me, if you're a KMOX or not a 97.1, I'm getting to know you. This is not a show. It's never been a show. A show, like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about in any given segment for the most part. Shows, no. Charlie has a show. The Midday has a show. This is not a show. This is an experience. And I don't mean that to be like, woo-woo. It's just the truth. We're presenting things to you, but you guys, at 97.1, the phones were constantly filled. No one calls here because I think you don't know what to do. But let me tell you, whether we're talking about guns or we're talking about bathroom humor, please call. I may not take your call, but this is a shared experience. We want you to call. We want your input all the time. Again, no guarantee you're going to get through, but please call anytime you want. 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. Welcome back, guys. 234 DGS. Happy Tuesday. Mary, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say welcome to the KMOX neighborhood. And I've enjoyed hearing the show. I came along to KMOX with Ryan Recker on Overnight America.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to Bo Matthews on the Sunday Gun Show he's got on Second Amendment Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And when you guys were talking about that, I thought, you know, you have to respect the gun. And how you do that is by learning about it before you go about using it. And if you always respect it, then you're never going to accidentally shoot somebody because you'll go through all the proper protocols.
Totally agree. Mary, the very first time I I'd shot a gun technically before, but when I was doing lives for a gun place, they took me to a gun range and I bought a gun. I bought like a 38 special because it's little, whatever. And I was standing there. Thank God the gun was downrange and I was just talking to him and it went bang.
Oh.
And I was like,
whoa.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Just, and I don't know what the process is. You can just buy it without anything?
They do a check, and it goes to the
FBI. A background check.
But it takes like 10 minutes. And the FBI checks to make sure whatever the FBI checks on, and they come back and they go, great, Mr. Glover, you're good to go. You give them your credit card, and you walk out.
So they don't ask you, hey, do you know how to use this?
Oh, God, no. No.
Hmm.
Mm-mm. Nope.
That seems odd.
It does.
What do you want to use this for, huh?
It does seem odd.
I mean, even a car, you got to test drive it first, mm-hmm. you know?
Agreed. It's Giving Tuesday. Rach is going to talk to St. Patrick's Center. We're big fans of them. Coming up later in the show, encourage you guys to go to Hardee's, the easiest donation you'll ever make. Just get yourself a burger, taco, what have you, and maybe some breakfast stuff, and give a dollar or more, and you're going to get the DGS holiday sticker. And 100%, every penny of that dollar is going to go to Operation Food Search to feed people in St. Louis over the holidays, and especially for kids who sadly, for them and their parents, don't have enough food, and the backpack program gives them food over the weekend for both them and their siblings. You guys want to hear me crap on my company? Want to hear me bite the hand that feeds me?
Let's do
That's
it.
Always fun,
sure,
right?
Sure, but this I have nothing to do with this.
So this company, they pay me well. The check's always cash, but it's very corporate. 370 stations. I don't know anybody. And I just hate corporations. And here's one of the reasons why. So I keep getting these email telling me that I haven't taken this training where they spend way too much money to pay D-list actors to pretend that they're committing sexual assault on each other. Those are fine. I'll watch those. Today, I got one saying, like, you haven't,
that's my favorite series.
You haven't completed your IT training.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss my ass. I have zero reason to do IT training. Shut up. Leave me alone. Go outside and practice falling down, you piece of crap. Because I'm supposed to be bringing in all of this money for you. And if I spend 30 minutes looking at IT training because some middle manager who doesn't produce jack crap tells me to, that's a waste of money. And it's not just my company, it's yours too. Middle managers suck.
Have you guys noticed on those training things?
Abby just walked out.
there's a good idea person and a bad idea person, like the angel and devil.
Yeah.
The good idea girl has been recast like 5 times.
Oh, really?
And the bad idea guy has never been recast.
He's so good at it.
Well, I'm wondering if he's
murdering them.
Right. Well, I was wondering if he's like really hard to work with or something. And so they have to keep
He's a method actor.
I understand that when you have a big company, you have to have rules that apply to everyone. I get that. But for the love of God, Dave Glover does not need to do IT training.
It's IT security. Like, don't click on this link. Hackers could get in.
Well, I don't even read my email.
That's actually one Dave should take.
No, because Dave doesn't open his email usually.
The only person I've ever met who buys things from pop-up ads, Dave Glover, maybe should do the IT anti-company getting hacked training.
Jawsercise is going to bring down the whole company.
Jawsercise.
Man.
I got that off my chest. Let me mark that off my hate list.
Well,
good.
You're just going to keep getting reminders until you do it.
I know.
I don't know if they give up.
I went on there the other day to do one of those, and it informed me that I was like 260 days overdue for one of them. I was like, oops.
Yeah, there's no consequences if you don't get it done.
Oopsie.
Just don't do them.
Just don't do it. Just delete it.
Let them pile up.
Man, I was sitting/laying on my couch today, thinking about going in and lifting my kettlebells twice. And I started watching this show called 14 Peaks. It's pretty amazing. It's this guy from Nepal, a guy named Messner, who's like the Wayne Gretzky of mountaineering. He's the first guy to climb all 14 8,000 meter peaks. Okay, so a bunch of peaks across the, you know, Asian continent that are like Mount Everest. And it took him 16 years. And then someone else did it in 7 years. And this guy did it in 7 months. And halfway through the movie. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. He's just this insanely driven guy. Here's an example. There's this one mountain that's incredibly hard to summit. And it takes you about a week from the time you hit base camp at 22,000 feet. You go to camp one, you sleep, you acclimatize. You get the idea. It takes you a week. You go up, you come down. He did it in one day, hungover. How crazy is that? He just went up.
He's just out there climbing.
He just went up and came down. He's like, what's so hard about this?
Oh, my God.
But he wanted to do it to prove to humans that you can do more than you think you can. And I'm just laying there drinking my second cup of coffee.
I can't even lift two kettlebells.
I'd say whatever you say, man. If you say a human beings can accomplish more.
And then his first two climbs. Everyone should watch this. It's really something. His first two climbs, he summited, and on his way down, he found someone dying.
Oh my God.
And he saved their life.
Well, one of them, he saved their life. The other one died in his arms. Like, oh, literally, because he was a part of the special ops, and he's like, I will not leave anyone behind. And that, I was just comparing that, because he was above the danger zone. He was with his three climbing partners. They all gave this dying guy all of their oxygen, so they went 11 hours without oxygen. Mm. And then I thought about the piece of crap in Waukesha that just ran through a bunch of old grannies and kids. Like, we're such an uneven species, aren't we? You have people like him who's literally risking his life to help someone who's probably 99% going to die anyway. And then you have this guy who's like running from a knife fight and just decides to plow through. I don't know.
Or I want to bring this up, too, because I had it on the show sheet. I know it's about George Clooney, but he gave this interview, and it was about his bike crash that he just had a couple years ago. And he said he thought he was dying. Like, literally, he was waiting for his last breath. And this crowd forms around him, and they're all filming it.
Wow.
Like, the same kind of stuff, because they just want to go viral. So let's get George Clooney laying on the ground after a bike crash. Like, that's who you want to be? Like, he literally thought he was dying.
I had a thought this morning. So I've been doing this for 21 years. My 10th anniversary, I did a bunch of interviews for, like, radio magazines. And they would always ask, what's the best part of your job? What's the worst part of your job? And I would always say, and I would to this day, the worst part of my job is I have to know everything. It's show prep. I have to watch every show. I have to read every whatever. I have to know everything that's going on. And that sucks, because you got stuff like that. And then it hit me somehow, some way in the past 10 years, everyone became me. 10 years ago, people didn't know that much. But now everyone's show prepping every day. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now everyone pretty much knows everything that's going on, and we're all depressed.
Well, we don't actually know. We read headlines and we think we know, but
which is even
worse. That's a good point.
It's even
worse. We're just getting the cliff notes of everything and probably misunderstanding 80% of it.
And making giant takes on it.
Well, yeah. And the information goes into our brains with no mindfulness whatsoever. And then we wonder why we are depressed and anxious, because you're taking on all this information. Most of it has to do with things that you have no control over. So you're feeling helpless. And it's all subconscious. Our culture is just designed around selling us stuff and making us afraid of everything.
Yeah.
And we don't even realize it's happening because it's so baked into everything that we do.
But we're talking during the gun thing on the break. It's like, one of the big problems is everyone's playing someone else. Like, we're seeing all this stuff from inside the NRA now, where they're like, these rubes, these rednecks.
About their own members.
About their own members.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's being played by someone.
Another point to what you were just saying is that everyone's an expert, but they're not. It's okay to not know everything about everything. There is no point you're going to get to where you know it all. There is always room to learn. And I think we are so busy being the expert on everything. You pass stuff, let stuff pass you by right in front of your face. Like, I'm never going to know everything to do about radio, even though I've been doing it 20 years. There's a million other things I can learn, or people I can learn from.
Yeah.
But people just have to know it all.
Yeah, true.
And it's very annoying.
You want to hear the dumb thing of the day? So everyone knows I'm an agnostic, but I'm also fiercely defensive of people who are religious, because I used to be very, very religious. And maybe we'll be again one day. Very open to it. Guess what the newest gender reveal craze is? Type of thing. Baptism. You can't just get baptized at a church anymore. You have to get baptized in a horse trough with cowboys around.
Oh, man.
Or in the ocean where there are sharks. Real thing. Or with a rock band playing your favorite song.
I thought you meant they revealed at the baptism.
No.
You're waiting all that time.
If the water is pink, it's
the girl. Dress up.
I said that poorly. It's the latest thing that we've douched up.
I got you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as we know, baptism is all about you making a splash, so... The whole point is like...
That's a pretty good pun.
Well, but the whole point is like, I'm giving my life to God publicly. And, unless it's like the little baby getting the sprinkle. I don't really understand that, because that's not how I grew up. But when you're a teenager, an adult, and you get baptized, it's because you're like giving your life to God and you're making that commitment. And it's about him. It's not about you.
Yeah. But people do it in different ways. No problem. I got baptized. There's a photo of me standing there at the Assembly of God in Wood River, you know. But if you're filming it and posting it and someone's wearing a cowboy hat, right?
Kind of defeats the meaning
I hope I get 800 likes on my baptism photo.
Yeah, when it's not enough to have a an eternal relationship with the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
You need a rock band playing Final Countdown. Like,
Bethany's not invited to my cowboy-themed baptism.
Do you think that we have been convinced that that is the only way that we exist
yes.
is through social media?
Yeah, likes and shares. And
but it was so recently
followers.
That we didn't exist through that. Like, I just don't.
20
why
years
can't
is
we
nothing.
Just go back, guys?
20 years is nothing. And you know that's what? How long we've been doing this.
But this is an interesting question. Because Rachel and I, social media really started to pick up when we were around 15, 16 years old. So we haven't necessarily existed as adults in that world. What did, you know, people get like validation. A lot of people seek validation from likes, clicks, whatever, yada, yada, faves. What did you guys do for validation pre-social media?
Real answer.
Yeah.
You had friends. You had your family. You had your significant others. And that was it. That was it.
I guess the equivalent to what he's saying is that you were invited to the party, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something as low-key as that.
Yeah.
You either were in a good relationship or a bad one. You liked your family, you didn't. You liked your job, you didn't. You went out on Saturday, you didn't.
Probably more in touch with real life because you can't fabricate something else online.
Yeah.
Like, and we didn't have it, like Rachel said too, at one point, I don't know when we were talking about this, but you couldn't send a text in the middle of the night. You know, you had to wait. Now, and maybe whatever you were going to fire off may have changed when you slept on it for a little bit and just couldn't get that immediate text out. I mean, everything is so instant. You're connected to your phone. You're connected to the internet. You can't get away from it now. There is no downtime.
Well, think about it. In the 1700s, if we were a couple, we might, and you were in Europe, we would talk 3 times a year.
That'd be awesome.
And then World War II, you get, oh my gosh, we have phones now. And then when I was a kid, I would take a girl on a date and her dad just had to trust that I'd bring her back. Like, there's no where are you or, you know, what spot are you in? And now it's if I don't hear back from you, if you leave me on red for 2 minutes, it's like, what's the deal?
Why don't you text me back?
Welcome back, guys. A few minutes shy of 3 p.m. Trish, what do you want to tell me?
I don't know. What do you want to tell me?
You tell me anything you want to tell me.
What do you want to tell me?
Tell me something secret.
I'm going to ask about the movie soundtrack thing because this was trending on Twitter and it was like, name your 3 favorite movie soundtracks. Go. I was looking at all the answers and is that even a thing anymore? It was so huge, like Purple Rain, Top Gun, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Stand By Me, Saturday Night Fever, Breakfast Club.
Ghost Mr. Chicken.
But are movie soundtracks a thing anymore? I mean, that's how we would get introduced to music a lot. And I just
the
don't
Guardians
know if
of the Galaxy mixtapes were big, but it was all like old music.
I'm glad you bring that up. Marvel is really the only people who are still doing that. Like Guardians of the Galaxy was a big thing. They like Kendrick Lamar put together the one for
Black Panther,
and it was like he had some like new original songs on there and like aggregated from other people he knew. It was a big deal when it came out. Shang-Chi, which is one of the newer Marvel movies, had a big...
It's all new music?
Some of it is, like, new original music. Some of it is, like, you know, music from artists that they, you know, wanted to use in the movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Or is relevant to the movie in some way.
I just saw that Adele asked someone, iTunes, whoever, to take out the shuffle, and they did. Shows you power, because she said it's an album. Mm-hmm. You have to listen from the beginning
to end. And I agree.
Interesting.
I almost hate that feature of... Because I used to listen to an album front to back. Listen to my age there. But you had to, almost.
Yeah.
It was such a pain. Even on a cassette.
Yeah,
so, it was extremely hard to skip tracks. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Adele. I feel like she's turning into, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but a diva, like the level of star where it's like everyone just hangs on every word she says. Why do we do that with people to where it's like, yeah, Queen Adele, like, she's fine. People do that with Beyonce. They're like the Queen Bey. I'm like, I really like Beyonce's music. I don't think that she's infallible. Like, I just don't get how it's usually female singers reach this status where it's, I feel out of the loop because it feels like everyone else is worshiping them. And I'm just over here like, yeah, they're neat.
No,
I feel
I
like a crazy person.
Thing. I was scrolling through Twitter and it was like, look at the most iconic photo ever. And it was Oprah and Adele like laughing. I'm like,
yeah. Okay, like they're both nice.
Can we just say like, hey, look at this cute. It's like the most iconic picture you're ever going to see in the whole wide world. We have to elevate everything to ridiculous standards.
I just don't get it. I'm glad you're with me, Trish, because I look around and I'm like, am I crazy?
No, she's really good and really talented. Can't that be it?
Right.
Yesterday, I didn't get to it, but I had my list of people I'm tired of. And Adele was on it, and Adele's never done anything to me.
Yeah, and it's probably the way other people are talking about her.
She hasn't had an album out in, what, 3 to 5 years? I can't even remember. She just made her comeback, and you're done with it.
I know, but that's why. Because, and you know what? It's my phone, because I look at my phone news feed. If I didn't look at that, my life would be so much better.
All right, guys, we're all throwing away our phones tonight. Will you join the DGS?
It's my Rachel version of TikTok, because I look at that and there are 3 Paul McCartney articles and 3 Adele articles.
Oh,
I'm like,
that's
so
why you're on
you.
The Paul McCartney thing.
It is.
Did you watch the thing yet?
No.
I watched the documentary. Sorry. You watched part one. Yeah. How many are there? 3?
There's 3. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's getting a lot of great reviews, like how interesting it is, seeing them come up with the songs. Yeah. And
I can see it being boring if you're not a Beatles fan, but if you're a Beatles fan, I feel like I'm having a good dream while I'm watching it. I feel like it's the best ever biopic, and the actors really look like them, because it just doesn't seem possible that all of this footage of them exists.
It's real. Yeah.
It's the craziest, coolest feeling to see it.
Dave's gonna watch it and fast forward through all the Paul McCartney parts. I don't want to hear this.
I hate him.
I just figured it out. That's what it is. It's my stupid phone. It's because that's
Throw
what
it
we
in
do.
The river.
It's what we do. It's what I do. Is when there's 30 seconds of silence in my human life, I grab it.
I'm looking at mine right now.
And I'm like, news? I haven't looked at that. No one's texted me. What's in the news? And it's like, Paul McCartney. I was the smartest and the coolest. I'm like, I hate you, Paul McCartney. Well, I'm the one doing it to myself.
I think all of us have our phones open right now.
Well, Yoko's getting her say now. So she's like, see, I didn't break them up.
It is kind of crazy.
All this time.
She's sitting right there during practice. Like,
oh, yeah.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Andrew and Abby in the control room, criticizing, making all the decisions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.